B-Pod Studios.
This. Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour, Felger and Maserati here from the Garden. Well, you hear the Bruins take on the Capitals tonight. Bruins are on a nice little streak that feels like they got something going. We'll find out just how much they have going tonight.
I mean, this is the ultimate litmus test. This team owns their
ass. Comes their nemesis. They can't beat this team if their life depended on it.
13 in a row?
Yeah. Like going back to 2014 and stuff, and it's just insane. So we'll see what the Bruins got tonight. They're on 98.5 The Sport. Celtics at Miami. They're on 105.7. As Murray just said in his update, we are all Patriots. We had Ted Johnson on earlier because you heard us a lot of times in that hour referencing Ted said this, Ted said that. So if you missed it, maybe a couple highlights. In general, it was way too positive for my liking. Way too positive. He has the Patriots, and he gave us like a list of 13 reasons why they're going to win.
It was unbelievable.
13 reasons why they're going to win.
It was worse than Bedard when he pulled out that list.
No, they're all like
crying out loud.
It's all happy talk.
That's what I like about Perillo. He never brings a list.
So what are we doing? I'm all for lists. I didn't like the nature of the list. But he thinks the Pats are going to win, but largely for all the extraneous factors. Chargers have to fly coast to coast a couple times. He thinks that is a big deal. They're back to back on the road's a big deal.
Weather,
a big deal. Things of this nature. So he thinks those tip the scales in the favor of the Patriots. But in a sort of a clear indication of how he feels about the teams, he also did say this. If this game were played on a neutral site, who wins?
Chargers win this game. Chargers win this game because when you take it in the context, if both teams were equally rested, if it was a neutral site, all things being equal in that regard, then I think the Chargers win. I think there's just a better team, top to bottom. They have a better roster. They have a more complete team, a more balanced team. And they have grit, and they have toughness, a collective mental toughness.
Okay, so. We had to pick and choose with the Johnson there to get what we're looking for, suit our agenda. But is it dangerous to say the Pats are going to win because, all those other sort of non-football factors? He had all these reasons why the Pats are going to win, and there are only a couple that were football.
Yes. Because, look, again, let's just use the easiest example, which is the last postseason game the Patriots played. They went to the Super Bowl, and we talked about all the variables. Patriots have been there a million times. Patriots know the halftime is a lot longer in the Super Bowl. What's Doug Peterson going to do in a critical situation in the Super Bowl?
Absolutely.
Are they all going to tighten up? Like, all of that. And at the end of the day, and I say this just for the course of the discussion, I'm not patting myself on the back. You know what my concern was going into that game? The Patriots weren't going to be able to cover the Eagles. I didn't believe in the defense. Philly's got a lot of weapons. How are the Patriots are going to cover them all? And the fact is that at the end of the day, they couldn't. And so if we're using all of the intangibles, the home field, the travel for San Diego, the fact that they had to play last week and that they got beaten up a little bit playing Baltimore, all of that, if those are the things we're using, well, then what are the football reasons for the Patriots? Yes, it's dangerous because you're overlooking. It's almost acknowledging that the Chargers are a better, more complete football team.
Absolutely. Every call we get on the weather, the travel, the East Coast 10 a.m. start is just sort of admitting you think they need those things to win.
Now that said, I think some of those things are real. I'm not discounting those. Okay, like the fact that the Chargers played last week, I think that's a real thing. The Patriots have been sitting and healing for 2 weeks now. And in some cases, they've been able to pick and choose how they wanted to play the last couple of games on top of it. So they've been able to kind of gear themselves towards this ever really since the Pittsburgh loss. Because let's face it, they knew that the chances, they were able to get themselves into a bye situation after the Buffalo game. And then they kept it there. But they weren't going to get the number one seed once they lost to Pittsburgh, in all probability. So, to me, I think the Patriots are in a good spot there where they've been able to really sort of get themselves ready for this game. That's an advantage. It is. And that's a football advantage in a lot of ways. You're going to come in fresher, healthier, all of that. Like, that to me is real. But the mystique, the aura, I look at that and say, well, what are you banking on now? Magic tricks? Like, that's what we're banking on? I'm not banking on that.
I think it's okay to say you're banking on home field advantage. Look, if you're not, if you haven't watched a lot of the league this year, then okay, it's easy to say, oh, the Patriots, because they're home and their mystique and their history, they should be favored in this game. But if you've been paying attention, it's easy to admit that the Chargers are the better team. They are. They are.
And Murray, the home field thing is also what I would put that under the category of football thing. When they've played here, they've played better. It's a better team. You know, again, look at them in the Minnesota game. And I know the Vikings weren't great, but nonetheless, like when they played at home, they played well. The defense played with more intensity. They looked like a different team here than they did on the road. So that to me, as much as it's a, you say home road, well, they were 8-0 at home and 3-5 on the road. I don't think that's phony. Like, that's a real thing to me.
All right, Ted also had something interesting on Bill Belichick. I don't know exactly what's in the cut, but the lead-up was Dante Hightower and how he's played this year, which is not well. And Ted saying that it doesn't feel like Dante Hightower lost playing time because of it or was in and out of the lineup because of it. And he wonders if that, you know, is an indication of it's a different Bill Belichick that we're seeing. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I feel like Belichick, he's a different coach now than he was when I played for him. He would never stand for that kind of lack of production. You know, you keep rolling out Malcolm Brown. You keep rolling out Dante Hightower and Kyle Van Noy. You know, tell me what Kyle Van Noy does that's really good. Belichick would bench guys. He would take away their snaps. He would play mind games. He would get you thinking, oh, man, I don't see a sense of urgency in anybody on this defense because you know what they're all doing? It's like when Pete Carroll was the coach. You know, when Pete was the coach, I was like, if you were on that opening day roster, you were good the rest of the way. You know, he didn't churn his roster during the season, and you could kick back, and it doesn't matter. You were the starter week one. You're going to be the starter week 16. Heck, if you weren't getting it done, I'd walk into that place, and it smacks you right in the face when you open the door to go to Gillette. You better be ready to go every single day, or he'll find somebody else to replace you. He doesn't do that anymore. I just don't see him docking guys. There's no consequences for bad plays, what it looks like to me sometimes. And that's, I don't know, Bill's getting older. Maybe he just, you know, he's just like, eh.
Chill, Bill.
I don't want to.
So your thought on that?
So I don't think it's that is completely true. And I say that because Belichick,
Malcolm Brown and Danny Shelton have been benched, haven't they?
Effectively, yes. Yeah, and also I just don't think they have the roster in some cases to make guys pay for it. Now, in the past, might Belichick have gone out and gotten an Akeem Hicks or what was the guy's name? Ayers, the linebacker, right? Same type of deal. Like, he would pick up a guy in a spot if he felt they were deficient in that area, and they didn't feel like they did as much of that this year. So maybe
they didn't. They did nothing at the trade deadline.
Yeah, so there's some of that for sure, and maybe that's that some sort of gives you some sort of insight as to how he really feels about what this team's ceiling is, that he wasn't going to go out and trade a draft pick because ultimately he doesn't think this team's worthy of the investment. But I still think it's, you know, why is Dante Hightower on the field? Well, who do you want out there? Who do they have a linebacker? Juwan Bentley got hurt early in the year. Roberts can't, you know, Roberts is limited. Van Noy's out there every snap. They just don't have linebackers. So what are you going to do? Hey, you just don't have the roster for it. So I think that in some of it, Bill softened. I don't think there's any question. But I think some of it is the roster sucks, and how many moves can you make?
That's what I think it is, too. You know,
I mean, in the past,
you're playing the hand you made for yourself, never mind the one you went dealt. I mean, maybe if you addressed linebacker in the draft the last couple of years, you'd have someone else that could play.
I mean, it's one of they always trumpeted, right? The whole quality depth, the middle of the roster. The middle of the roster isn't what it used to be, and the fact of the matter is their star players aren't playing at the same level now. So they've slipped. Because they didn't have enough depth and they didn't have the production out of the star players. So, you know, has he aged? Has he become chill Bill? Sure. Yeah, some of that has happened. I also think some of it is that he doesn't have as many choices as he had in the past.
All right, here's what's coming up next. Ted, another comment. We'll play you one more coming back from the break about Ted Johnson's thoughts on Tom Brady. And specifically Tom Brady telling Jim Gray a couple weeks ago that his brain is now wired for contact and calloused to contact. And sort of this implication that he can withstand concussions because of his brain work in TB12 and just Tom Brady in general. It's an interesting comment. You'll hear that coming back. And I will give you Patriots tickets for free if you call at the right time, which is not now. Do not call now. Call when I tell you, and you will have a chance to win free Patriots tickets to Sunday's game against the Chargers. All coming up right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening to Felger and Nass.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, my muscles just absorb the forces and disperse the forces as well as they ever have. And my brain is wired for contact.
It made me throw up in my mouth a little bit. It was, you know, and I have to say it, it was very irresponsible for Tom to talk like that. Okay? My brain's wired for contact. So what, Kevin Turner's wasn't, Junior Seau's wasn't, Justin Strelzniak's brain wasn't, Andre Waters' brain wasn't wired for contact, but yours is? So it was very insensitive, and I thought irresponsible to talk
about. Well,
so,
I mean, he's claiming his brain exercises and the TB12 method can wire your brain for contact. Do you believe that?
I don't. It's just, I haven't seen it in the medical journals, right? It's in his book, right? But it's... I haven't seen any other scientists back it up and validate it.
So that's a strong point. Which, you know, I've said it from day one. A lot of others have said it from day one. That's irresponsible, man. Because the medicine and the science doesn't support your claims. And so now what's actually happening there is then there's a youth football player who, Tom Brady says it. And now they're doing it thinking that their brain's going to be safe. And if it's not, you're putting someone in danger. So that's like that's really...
It's definitely irresponsible.
It's just, that's bad form by Tom. And I felt that from day one. It's something when I say it, you know, I'd say whatever.
So I'll tell you...
It's different when someone like Ted says it, who does have a history of concussions and has been in that place and was really close with Kevin Turner. And that gives it a little more weight.
So I'll tell you, I didn't even... Like in the past, when you said it's irresponsible, I took it as sort of a... You know, a commentary on the medical world, like somehow you're advising people that in the future they can go and do this and not, you know, not have the kind of head trauma that some other guys have experienced. I didn't even think about the guys that he has played with that have already had it. The idiot that I am. Like, as he was saying it, I went, oh my God, I didn't even think of that. Like the fact that a guy who's playing with him is going, what? So you're telling me that part of the reason I've had issues is because I didn't prepare for it properly? That's what it is.
I must want to choke him.
Right. And here's the other thing. Easy to say when you're a quarterback and you play in a skirt.
Great point.
Try
taking on guards. Try smashing your face into 300-pound guards on every play.
Like, you know, and I remember this from when, Ted Johnson was a player. And Sam Gash went to the Bills and he had to collide, smash heads with Sam Gash on every play. And he was saying how that was just a miserable experience for him. And I thought, when he said the one guy he never wanted to play against was Sam, I thought he was going to say Sam Gash. But I was thinking...
I thought he was going to say Jerome Bettis. He ripped both biceps against Jerome Bettis, didn't he?
I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's right. But it didn't even occur to me, like, you know, easy to say when you're a quarterback, Tom.
It had been a while since we had played that clip. Just hearing it again. Brady sounds like Ralph Wiggum. Like, he just sounds so dumb. Like, I train my brain to be...
Who's Ralph Wiggum?
He's like the dumb little kid from The Simpsons. I figured he wouldn't get the reference, but that's what he sounds like. Like,
I train my brain to be the smartest and to keep myself healthy.
Okay, Tom.
The only Wiggum I know is Larry Wiggum.
Hey, Patriots tickets, free Patriots tickets coming up in minutes. So you don't want to leave your radio if you're interested in winning those. In the meantime, back to your phones. Joey in Londonderry. Hi, Joey.
Hey, I'm confused. Is there a chance they might cancel the game this Sunday? Is that what you guys... because I just hear all the meaningless chats. I figured the Patriots were going to show up. And why show up, right? Listen, Pete Felger, right? Let me ask you. Why do you think... This is a great question.
Go!
Did you hear it?
Go!
No. Okay, goodbye.
Oh, God.
That guy was irritating.
Could it be any more annoying? Especially when we're on a remote with a little delay? Please. Joe in Norton. Hi, Joe.
Hey, boys. I got a thought for you. Obviously, the Patriots are very vanilla this year. Their offense, I mean. Do you think that Belichick may have looked at that and been like, okay, you know, we don't have the talent, but we can outsmart these guys in the playoffs? You know, do you think we see more swing passes, more crossing, stuff like that?
So I don't feel like your play calling has been vanilla at all. I feel like you've tricked a lot of things up, in fact. And on defense, I mean,
Green Bay, didn't they have all those trick plays in the Green Bay game?
Totally. And it's, you know, Brady got injured on a trick play. I mean, how many double pass? I don't know.
Tennessee.
Yeah. So no, I think they've tricked it up, and I know they tricked it up on defense, and you know, and in a good way. I'm not, you know, telling you that was a bad, you know, that scheme with the amoeba defense and the everyone standing up and all that. I think it's great, but that's tricking it up. So I think they've coached the hell out of the team this year because they're a little down on talent.
They've had to scheme it. They've had to scheme it, and I think they're going to have to scheme it defensively at least this weekend, too. Maybe offensively, too. Who the hell knows? We'll have to see. Because, you know, it's one thing that Ted Johnson said in the last hour about how, you know, in the past, Belichick knows how to coach a team, and there was always something that they don't show you that they'll show you in the playoffs. I wonder if that was true this year, because it feels like they emptied the bucket a little bit more, and I'm not saying they emptied it entirely. But how much more can they really, you know, look, well, there's always something else you can do.
You had a good one earlier.
Throw to Michelle.
If you throw to Michelle, that breaks a big trend. They haven't thrown to him in 2 months.
I mean, to me, that's what I – if you want Sony Michelle to be a huge variable in this game, start throwing to him. Then the Chargers won't know what the hell's coming.
Because anytime he's on the field, it's so predictable. Oh, they're running with him. Like, that's annoyed the hell out of me. That you even – so you brought up a stat that he actually caught a ball in the Tennessee game. I don't remember that at all. I figured he wasn't targeted since Detroit.
Yeah, the last time I looked it up, the last time he was targeted was in the Minnesota game. One catch,
Minnesota, that's what it was.
Yeah, one catch for 7 yards. Since then, no targets.
So that was his last target and catch.
Yep, that was December 2nd.
Paul, so it was just over a month, not 2 months. Paul in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I was just hoping that you guys could clarify a question I had about when you were talking about this person, specialty player, Nick Rose, coming in to do kickoffs or whatever. I mean, did he have to be on the Los Angeles roster in order to be able to take this position? Or is it some sort of a situation? I mean, can we bring in a run stuffer from the street? You know,
Yes.
Yes, that's the only question.
Yeah, if you want to go sign Vince Wilfork this week and bring him back to play, I think you can.
Yeah, so there's no, you know, like baseball has a playoff roster deadline, right? Football doesn't have that.
No, they don't.
You literally can pick up any schmo at any time and stick him out there.
I think
isn't there one Super Bowl week that you have to have, you know, you can't add someone at the last minute or something?
I don't know.
Maybe not.
I don't know. But I think it's a smart little thing that they did. Again, if you missed it, the Chargers were dead last in the league in touchbacks. Their kicker, this Badgley, who's a rookie, had a nice year kicking field goals, but he's not much of a kickoff guy, to the point where they had the least amount of touchbacks all year, 9 touchbacks on 54 kickoffs. And last week in Baltimore, all 6 were returned. He didn't have a single touchback last week in Baltimore. And now San Diego's coming in here. They see Cordell Patterson, who I think's, you know, lousy. But a good kick returner.
He is a good kick returner.
He's a lousy receiver, but a good kick returner. And they look at it and they say, well, we can't give him, you know, a handful of kickoffs. We're not going to do that. So they brought in a guy who can kick it out of the end zone. I think it's smart. I think it's a little attention to detail thing that you don't normally see from Patriots opponents. You think what, Murray, again?
Feels desperate. Like they're doing this last second. Like they don't trust their kicker. They're going to plant a seed of doubt in that kid, that young kicker, Michael Badgley, in his brain. Now he's going to miss a kick. Or this guy that hasn't played since camp, he's going to kick a ball out of bounds, just like how the Carolina Panthers did in the Super Bowl back a million years ago.
I mean, if that happens, that would be ironic. I like the move. And again,
what if Bill did it?
Oh, my God, if Bill did it, we'd be championing it.
No. That's what the callers would be. What would you be saying?
We'd be saying, why don't they have a guy who can kick it out of the end zone to begin with?
I'd say they don't have anybody who can stop the run, but they're going to get a guy who can kick it out of the back of the end zone?
Yeah, we'd find a way to be critical.
No, I would dump on the fact that they don't have any fat guys in the middle of the defensive line.
I mean,
so you bring up the stats, so it's obviously been an issue for the team the whole year. Address it earlier. This just feels like kind of drastic right now.
Fair enough. Address it going into the playoffs. That's a fair point. Robert in Worcester. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how you doing, boys?
Good, Robert.
Yeah, I just want to chime in real quick. I just want to know, I want to talk about how you guys talked about the season before.
Robert, I have to let, sorry. That was Jimmy. I think someone got to you before he got. You got to be quick, folks. Get in, get out, make your point.
Okay? Another useless call.
We're also on remote, so there's a little delay, which just exacerbates the problem on our end. If you're not quick and to the point, it's just painful.
Just like on the kickoff thing real quick.
Yeah.
Like, just look at the end of that Philly-Chicago game last week. Okay? Philly scores to go ahead. They get a touchdown to go ahead. Then they kick it to Tariq Cohen, who takes it 35 yards out.
Huge point in that game.
So now all of a sudden, all the Bears need is a field goal, and they're already out at their 40-yard line. Right, so now they got to get 30 yards to have a functional kick to win the game, even though their kicker, the jackass that he is, decided to, you know, hit the upright and then hit the crossbar for the sixth time this year. But that aside, that kickoff was a huge play.
Huge.
And it wasn't a touchdown, just a 35-yard return. Huge play.
I'm curious.
And I think you're going to have that kind of game this week.
I wonder, you know, if Peterson called for that because he trusted his kick, his coverage units. He wanted to pin him deep. I don't know. Can that Philly kicker kick it out of the end zone?
No, he's got a good leg. That guy kicked a 62-yard field goal last year to win a game.
So maybe that was the call from the sideline.
Could be. Or, you know, again, it was cold. Maybe he just didn't have the leg to get it out. Like, I don't know. But the fact that they allowed that guy to return, and that guy's, you know, explosive. I was floored by that. I said, you got to be kidding me. I was pulling for Philly in that game. I like the Eagles last year. I like the way they play. Okay, it's a physical team, but that play was huge.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
What have your impressions been of the Patriots offense? The stats maybe aren't quite as good this year as they have been in the past.
I mean, stats don't win games. You know, they figure out ways to win games, and that's all that really matters. I mean, they won the division, I think, for the 9th straight time. And back in this same situation, I don't know how many times, but they figure out a way to win games. And like I say, sometimes they'll go through the backs, sometimes they'll go through the receivers, tight end, and the defense will step up and make timely stops, and, you know, they're stingy in the red zone. So they just figure out a way to win games with what they have, and that's what's most important.
Okay, Anthony Lynn, Chargers head coach. I will say, again, I don't know what he's got. I don't know if he's up to the challenge on Sunday. I have the Chargers, but it's not because I am. But I will say, I do like the things that I hear from him.
He doesn't sound like a doofus like Doug Marrone did at this time last year.
No, and it's just also, you know, I mean, and it's what anyone should say, but don't win games. The Pats' stats down are down on offense. Yeah, stats don't win games. You know, it's almost like something Parcells would say, who he coached under. You know, so I think he's got a little bit of that going for him, just a little.
Some Belichick would say too, right? Like, look, at the end of the day, we're trying to win games. That's what we're trying to do. I don't know. Look, it feels to me like he has a clue. All I know, I told you this, I think, earlier in the week. Last year, I asked Greg Bedard about Doug Peterson. He ripped him up and down, said the Eagles are going nowhere, and they won the Super Bowl. This year, I asked him about Anthony Lynn, and he tells me they're not going anywhere with Anthony Lynn as their coach.
Did he say that?
Yep.
When?
Off the air.
Oh, that's not fair. That's not fair to the guy. He kept that off the air for a reason.
Well, maybe.
So, hey, he just blew up his spot.
Sorry, Greg. So, look, I told you early in the year, to me, I picked the Chargers and the Saints to go to the Super Bowl. So
did he tell you this months ago?
Yes, months ago.
When you told him your Super Bowl pick.
Yeah, months ago. Not the other day.
Got it.
Ago.
Got it.
Yeah. No, months ago, that's when the conversation was. And so to me, the Chargers have a good football team. And I still haven't picked the game yet, by the way.
I know. Shall we alert the media when you do?
Jimmy, tomorrow.
Should we send out some sort of press release? Because Maz keeps teasing.
I'll make some production for it, because this is a big announcement.
He keeps teasing the thing.
Yeah.
Like, he's told us 10 times now in the last couple of days. But I will do it on Friday. Like, we'll have some production.
I'll make some production for it.
And we'll get, Kelly or someone to send out a press release for
it. I think it's a great idea. I'd bring in a band. Like, whatever you want to do, man. Hype the crap out of it. I am going to announce my pick tomorrow in opening takes on Agenda Free Friday.
So I'm just curious, what's going to happen in the next 24 hours? Like, how do you not know now? What are you going to learn or try and decipher in the next 22 hours or so?
Well, I would say, honestly, I think I've pretty much decided who I'm going to pick. I have been I've been kind of fighting some elements all week, like going back and forth, because I've been pretty indecisive about this game. I've told you that with the points, I take San Diego, because I think this is going to be that kind of game. And plus four, like, to me, anything more than a field goal, you get three or more. In this kind of game, I'll take the team getting the three.
Is it down to four? Has the line moved to the Chargers?
So last time I checked, I saw four.
So the money's coming on the Chargers.
It feels that way. And so, but, you know, straight up in Foxborough, it's a hard game to pick.
Trap yourself in a basement with tapes like one Ron Jaworski used to do on Edge NFL matchups.
I will say this. There is one.
He's consulting his team.
Yeah.
There is one element in this game of all the things we've talked about, and we have talked about it this week. There is one thing in this game that I think is absolutely huge that has swayed my pick. And, you know, you'll have to wait until tomorrow to get it.
Well, can you just tell me what the topic is?
No.
You don't have to tell me how you feel about
it. No, because it'll give it away.
It'll give it away.
Yeah.
Okay, so not only do we have a pick, we've got a...
No, there's actually logic behind it.
Oh, we're actually going to have logic?
Yeah.
Since when?
Well, you know.
What do we do? Don't break trend. But anyway, not only will Maz have a prediction, he'll have a facet of the game that it will come down to. So he'll have an actual reason.
Make a note to myself. Make production for Maz's prediction.
Yes, it won't just be because I have some sort of gut feeling. Okay? It'll be based in something logical.
All right. Again, let's make sure we have a press release ready. We've given away the Patriots tickets. Thank you for trying, guys. Thank you. If you want to call us to talk sports, you're welcome, for sure.
Yeah, because that always works.
Well, I'm trying for you, Jimmy. I mean, that's all I can do. Call for sports, not for tickets. Does Jones have a pair, or is that it?
Nope, this is it.
All right, folks, you're SOL. If they better win. If they win and they're home next week, we'll have another chance for you to win tickets.
Yeah,
but if
that's
they don't,
not the only thing it. Jones doesn't have a pair of.
All right, wrap it up with your phone calls. Daryl in Pennsylvania. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. And, boy, perfect timing, Maz. I'm going to save you for making the right pick tomorrow with some stats here. But before I get into that, I just want to say one thing. This is a position I love the Patriots in. They're favored by four, but it seems like they're the underdog here. I love the fact that everyone's picking the Chargers to win.
Daryl,
yeah.
On this show. Not everyone's not picking the Chargers. Give me a break. Don't play like no one believes. Don't play this like no one believes in them and no one's picking them. And would you stop with that? There's probably more people picking the other side than normal. That's for sure. Okay, more people are on the other side than usual. Usually it's 100% Patriots. Now it's whatever 60-70% Patriots. But don't act like they're still not the favorite. They are the favorite, Daryl.
I think you're going to see this statement game out of the defense here, but. What I wanted to share with you, as I was watching the show, I came across this article, and Maz, you might want to write these numbers down here. Since 2000 in the divisional round, home team record 49 wins and 23 losses. With that, you've got an interesting dynamic this week. You've got three teams that are playing their third consecutive road game, the Colts, the Chargers, and the Eagles. That's always been a difficult task in the NFL. And since 2008... when teams are playing their third consecutive road game, their record is 23 wins, 37 losses.
Okay, that's not that bad. I mean, we looked at it. That's not that bad of a record.
Right.
And there was a time, it hasn't been recent, but there was a time not too long ago where teams would win three straight road games and then win the Super Bowl. That used to happen. Pittsburgh did it, didn't they?
So didn't Green Bay and the Giants.
So I think Green Bay might have had one home game.
Okay, the Giants won three on the road.
Went three on the road. I think Pittsburgh won as a six seed.
The Ravens?
There used to be. Ravens might have won as a six seed that one of those years.
I mean, they won here and they won in Denver that year.
The Ravens had one home playoff game in 2012.
Oh, bummer.
Okay, we're in a recent run here the last 5-6 years where it's all one seeds and two seeds going to the Super Bowl. But there was a time when teams used to do it. Okay? So what I think is a factor is them being on the road. And we've looked at all these numbers, folks. We've looked at all these numbers. West Coast coming to the East Coast. West Coast playing at the 1 p.m. start. Second straight road game. Third straight road game. It's all in the same ballpark. The road team, since 1990 is when we started the samples. The road teams only win at about a 330, 310. They're somewhere in the low 300s. So whether it's just any generic road game in the playoffs, or whether it's West Coast, East Coast, you know, 1 p.m. start, 4 p.m. start, two straight, three straight, you don't want to be on the road in the playoffs. If you go beyond that and say this is their second straight or they're flying from the West Coast, the numbers don't bear out a big difference. They don't. Trust me when I tell you we've run the numbers this week. We've done it. San Diego is at a big disadvantage because they're on the road. They're on the road and you're great at home. That is absolutely advantage, and you would never hear me say otherwise. I just pause with the West Coast to East Coast and the weather, and that's where I pause. It sucks to be on the road in the playoffs.
I mean, plain and simple. And again, in this now, look, the Chargers have done better with it on the road in general than most every team in the league, for crying out loud. They had to have the best road record in the league, right?
I can't imagine someone had. And you know, Philip Rivers said in one of the cuts we played, I didn't even realize their London win was technically a home game.
Yeah.
So it's like that even changes the equation a little bit for me. Like that's like they've had it stuck to them so many ways, and they ended up with a better record than you, and they proved themselves on the road.
Yeah, and look, the Patriots in Foxborough, as we know, 8-0, like, man, you look at that, that's wildly unusual. To have a team that is 8-0 every time they get on a plane, which is the Chargers, and a team that's 8-0 when they don't get on the plane.
Mike in the car. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering about, you guys think there's any potential to have Sony Michel and James White on the field at the same time?
Sure.
I mean, all season we've been talking about when Sony Michel's in there, they're going to run. And James White, they might pass. But I never see him on the field together.
Okay, so why not?
Yes, absolutely. Again, just the fact that you haven't seen it, to me, is all the reason to do it. And this is why I think, like, if the Patriots want to throw a wrinkle at the Chargers, throw to Michel. Throw to him. Like, now all of a sudden there's a guy that they have to cover that they didn't think they were going to have to, Dana, let alone if he's in the same time as White.
Dana in the car has a thought on the Brady concussion thing. Go ahead, Dana.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I'm sure there's going to be a neurologist wearing a number 12 jersey, but I don't think he's going to be throwing passes at Gillette on Sunday. So the whole thing about Brady thinks he actually trained his brain to prevent concussions, you got to know he wasn't being serious about that. He's saying the contact with his body, communicating to his brain, he's just ready for it. Wanted to throw that out there.
Well, you're just wrong. I mean, you know that he put his name he put his name on a concussion water that he said could help prevent concussions. I mean, did you read his book? He's not joking. He's not saying that because the thing about my muscles can absorb the forces and disperse the forces better than they ever can. You know, we've talked to people who said, like, there's actually something to that. If you just get really loose and, you know,
pliability,
the way you brace your, really being conscious of the way you brace yourself or the way you hit the ground, you can sort of, there's a little something to that. But the brain thing, no, he's not saying that because
there's literally a page if you go to TB12.com.
Good job.
TB12.com.brainHQ. Here's Brady, of course, his handsome face right here, raising the bar on brain training. There's a lot of brain games out there. TB12 Brain HQ is much more. You can sign up for free exercises or subscribe for full access, which I'm sure is hundreds and hundreds of dollars. But look at this with the diagrams of the brain and the football and all this nonsense. Like, come on. What are you doing? Cognitive training that's tailored to you because no two brains are the same. Changing your brain takes some work. While these exercises can be fun, they can also be quite difficult. These special algorithms, blah, blah, blah. What nonsense? I mean, he believes it. He's not joking around. This is what makes it. I love him. Favorite player ever. He's a weirdo and a quack off the field.
But this one's dangerous. Like, this one.
It's irresponsible.
It's one thing to say stretch more and be pliable, and that's going to help you out. Like, you know, if that doesn't work, all you got is a flexible leg for no reason. It doesn't hurt anybody. The brain thing, there's actually something at stake there.
$14 a month. What a ripoff.
I'll tell you that I had not even considered it until Ted Johnson said it when he was here at 3 o'clock today. The idea that, you know, so that a guy like him who had concussion issues, or Kevin Turner, who ended up with ALS,
yeah,
right, all of it, that those guys would sit there and say, oh, Tom, so you're saying that I brought this on myself because I didn't prepare myself for it? Oh, man, if I was one of those guys, I'd look at Brady and go, dude, you're insulting me right now. And again, it's easy to say when you're a quarterback standing back there in your high heels doing your nails while someone like me is bashing my head against someone else to protect you.
Be careful. Trenny might take the offense to that.
Okay, but you know, I'm just telling you, that's how a guy who's in the trenches would talk about a quarterback.
You got to really listen to this part. This is the one that works, guys, because what makes this program unique is the science, you see. Brain HQ is built on the foundation of brain plasticity.
What?
The brain's ability to change chemically, structurally, and functionally in response to sensory and other inputs. What a quack. $14 a month for this crap. Just download Lumosity on your phone. It's free. It's fun. You're not going to, like, change your brain by screwing around with it. It's something to kill time when you're pretending to do work at work. That's what those games are.
$14 a month?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, to our listeners, I will give you my brain theories for $13 a month.
Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Murray. Nobody, kid.
All right. Two pieces of sound to get to in the final word today. Even though it's been very football heavy today, there was a moment to talk about the Celtics and their big win over the Pacers last night. And Maz had some thoughts on one Marcus Smart.
All those five stars, they don't fit. You know, and again, there's just not defined roles, or there's just something about it that you need a couple of dirt dogs in there, for lack of a better term, and Smart's obviously one of them. It makes a big difference.
I mean, because it's not all about half-court offense. And the other thing is, like, okay, Smart doesn't shoot well. And by the way, I'm not taking any of the cheese on this little three-point run he's had over three games. Like, all of a sudden, you know, yeah, Marcus has been working on his jumper. Please. Well,
how many times have we heard that?
He gets hot for three or four games every year. It happens every year. And then he goes right back to throwing cinder blocks up there, which is going to happen again. But I will say, on the offensive end of the floor, he's got good game sense.
Like, oh, yeah, no, he moves well and passes well and all
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. He knows where to go with the ball. Like, I just don't want him shooting.
Nothing wrong with that.
Very simple.
Yeah. Pretty basic point of view.
Just play defense. Do all the things that annoy the other team.
Dive on the floor, flop, do your thing.
Just don't shoot.
And finally today we have, let's hear back from Ed in New Hampshire, who didn't like that the show sounded a little bit InfoWars-y to him when it came to why the Chargers might lose on Sunday.
This guy bugged the crap out of me.
Okay, Ed in New Hampshire, here we go again. Who the league wants? We're going to play this game? Go ahead. Ed, you're up next on InfoWars. Go ahead, Ed.
The NFL is not going to allow the Patriots to win, Chargers to win this game.
It means nothing, and I think it's all nonsense.
It's an LA Charger conspiracy. Well,
but it's also, and to be fair, it's also what I think getting into this is just, it makes my head explode. It doesn't matter to the NFL whether the smallest markets are in the Super Bowl or the biggest markets. It doesn't matter whether there's a team with a lot of stars in the Super Bowl or no stars in the Super Bowl. It makes no difference. Look at the numbers. The ratings are always the same. It's always the highest rated show every year. It's always within 5% of the year before. It doesn't matter who's in the Super Bowl.
Again, it's a perfect league.
So they aren't. It makes no business difference to the league.
That's what you want to believe, Felger. Look at the officials and how they officiated the AFC Championship game last year. One penalty for the Patriots. They did not want the Jaguars in the Super Bowl. It was a stage mind control operation.
I don't want to hear that from you if the Patriots lose, please. Exactly.
Yeah, so put that in your pipe and smoke it.
The Chargers are running a sex parlor out of a pizza place.
That's it for us.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.